From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This week we're continuing our study of the law of God. But there is a difference in the program format. We usually have a period each day where we have a commentary on some topic of interest. But since I'm gone from Greenville for quite a while on an overseas preaching tour, I'm leaving out the commentaries for the moment and giving us a longer period for each day's Bible study. I trust that you'll stay with us for today's study as we consider the subject of the first and great commandment of the law, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. We appreciate the constant flow of interest and response that we receive from our listeners. We're glad to be able to make some valuable resources available to you, and these are all free of charge. We have mentioned at times various special messages on cassette or CD. We have said before you our Let the Bible Speak full-color quarterly magazine, which always makes interesting reading. And recently I've been mentioning our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart. Now, you may obtain any of these or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. If you're writing, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS. 866-877-5827. Our website is letthebiblespeakradio.com, or in the abbreviated form, ltbsradio.com, and there you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, commentaries on topics of interest, both in audio and text versions, and of course our internet bookstore. So I hope that you'll make sure to visit us soon at ltbsradio.com. So whether you write, or call toll free, or get on the internet at ltbsradio.com, we trust that you'll be in touch today.
Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that always feels thy blood so freely shed for me. A heart resigned, submissive, meek, my dear Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly from above. Write thy new name upon my heart, thy new best name of love.
Now then, let's start at the beginning. The elements in love for God. What are the ingredients? What are those things that make up a genuine love for God? The first is a knowledge of God. If we're going to love Him, it will only be because we know Him. The primary means of producing true love for God is to produce a true knowledge of God. And that means
that the way to produce love is first to use the Scriptures, to get back to the book. You remember what the bride said in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 8? She said, "The voice of my beloved." That should be the word that spills from every redeemed soul as we come to God's book. My friend, let me caution you, especially as we're starting a new year, and many of you have started a new program of Bible reading, and you've set yourselves to read the Bible through this year. I trust you will. I trust you will. I've read this book from cover to cover, year after year after year after year, and many times, two or three times in one year, for many, many years now. But I warn you from my own experience as well as watching others, do not become a slave to some little chart where you suddenly feel guilty. I'm 10 chapters behind, and you start reading the Bible merely to fulfill a duty, and there is no sense that this is the voice of my beloved. Here, my friend, is no ordinary book. Here is the very Word of God. Here is where God speaks to our souls. I would rather take a day pondering one single verse of Scripture and have God speak to me and show Himself to me and reveal Himself to me than to read a whole book of the Bible and then sit back, puff out my chest, say how much I have read today, but have heard nothing from God. The Scriptures are to teach us about our God. In all your reading, know God. I have often given to people what I have called the 10 Commandments of Bible study, so that when they read a chapter, they will glean from that chapter those things that are most important to their spiritual growth. And one of the first things to ask is, what does this chapter teach me about God? Then what does it teach me specifically about the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you were simply to focus even in those two things, in every chapter of the Bible that you read, you find it would revolutionize your Bible reading because it would teach you of your God. The Scriptures then are a primary means of producing a true love for God. The Gospel is a primary means of producing a true love for God. Why? Because the light of the knowledge, notice the word, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shines in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. Where will you get a light, the light of the knowledge of God's glory? When you're gazing into the face of the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself took the whole canon of the Old Testament Scriptures and He opened them up and He showed the things concerning Himself. Genesis to Malachi, the message is Christ. To some people that sounds a very simple thing. Is not the Gospel come to Jesus and He'll forgive your sin? Actually, no, that is hardly first cousin to the Gospel. That is an invitation we can make on the ground and basis of the Gospel. But the Gospel is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of the mighty intervention of God in a covenant of grace through Jesus Christ, our Mediator and our Savior. The Gospel is the way to come to know God and therefore to love Him. And of course, ultimately, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the sure way to know and love the Lord. Notice what it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You see, what the Savior is saying is that He must be thy God before you can love Him. The law does not propose to sinners that they should love God in order that God may love them. The law does not teach sinners that there's some possibility of salvation by works. No, on the contrary, it is only as we lay hold of God in Christ. It's only as we believe that in Christ God loves us that we will ever truly love God. Isn't this what John said in 1 John 4:19? We love Him because He first loved us. The first element then in loving God is knowing God. The second element in loving God is delighting in Him. Delighting in Him. You remember how the Lord describes His love for us? He describes it as delighting in us. Psalm 18, verse 19, He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. It means because He loved me. But this is how it's described, because He delighted in me. There's a beautiful text in Isaiah 62 in verse 4 that expresses this wonderfully. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. That's what God says to His people. Now, I'm very, very tempted to stop off and preach a little in that text, but that would not be warrantable for me, and it may be uncomfortable for you before the night were over. Christian, take this from the Lord tonight. The Lord delights in you. The Lord finds pleasure in you. The Lord, if I could use human language to describe eternal deity, the Lord's heart is thrilled at the very thought of His redeemed people. The Lord boasts of His people to angels and even to devils, as Job chapter 1 makes clear. The Lord delights in you. What a description of God's love. And why does God describe His love as delight? Because delight is a basic element in love. This is how we're to love God. Psalm 37 and 4 says, delight thyself in the Lord. Again, the bride in the Song of Solomon, the second chapter and the third verse, describes her bridegroom as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. Let me tell you, my friend, the mark of the people of God, I will say a defining characteristic of a true Christian. I understand what I'm saying. If this finds no echo in your heart and in your experience, I don't care what church you're a member of. I don't care how many times you've walked the aisle. You're not a Christian. This is the defining characteristic of a true Christian. God's people find the Lord pleasing to their heart. They take pleasure in their God. They delight in Him. They delight in His person. They love to understand more and more what the Bible says about the person of their triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They delight in His perfections, in His purposes, and in His promises. They delight to draw near to Him. The psalmist said in the 27th Psalm, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." They delight to draw near to God. They delight to praise Him. One of the great marks of their delight is a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of thankfulness. Can a Christian live a single day without giving thanks to God for all that he has in Christ? Can a Christian possibly contemplate his existence in this world and his hopes for the world to come without bursting forth into praise? "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Bless God tonight. God's people delight to praise Him, for praise is comely to the upright. And they delight to serve Him. The Savior Himself could say, and of course it's true of every Christian, as the psalmist made clear in the 40th Psalm, "I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart." Thy law is within my heart. I have often quoted to you the words of the great C.H. Spurgeon on the fact of the law of God in the heart of the believer. And he said, "In the head it puzzles, on the back it burdens, but in the heart it delights." Here then is the second element in love for God, to delight in Him. The third element is to desire Him. Desiring Him, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee?" The 73rd Psalm asks, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside Thee." Here again is the mark of a Christian. Let me put it in one simple but very far-reaching sentence. And here I'm glad to be paraphrasing Thomas Boston. "The soul that loves the Lord sees in Him all that satisfies, and apart from Him, it sees nothing that is necessary to its good and its happiness." The soul that truly loves the Lord sees in Him all that satisfies. We were singing that great old gospel hymn tonight, "Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee." The mark of love for God is to desire Him. Those who live their lives without any real desire after God are living their lives without Him. Then there is a fourth element, and that is what I will call confiding trust. John said in 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, But perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Paul said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How do you know you love God? Because you trust Him. You trust Him. Even in human relationships, true love is a trusting thing. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. It believeth all things. The soul that truly loves the Lord will confidently trust in Him. The elements in love for God. Quickly then, a word about the exercise of love for God. Now, the Lord Jesus, in their Bible reading tonight, is quoted as saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's really quoting from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Not an exact word-for-word quotation, but if you take Deuteronomy and then Matthew, and you'll look at parallel passages in Mark 12 and 30 and Luke 10 and 27, you'll find that there are actually four words that are used. We're to love God with all our heart. That always comes first in all the lists. With all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Now, there is a way in which those words really are all saying the same thing. There is a way in which the Lord is simply piling word upon word to say, love God with everything that's in your being. That's true. And yet, I can't help but think that He didn't choose these words for no particular reason. Love God with all your heart. We must love the Lord affectionately. There is a genuine affection. I know that many people, this seems to be more and more true of the intellectual among God's people. So I have to warn quite a few of you who are obviously in the intellectual segment of society to distrust emotion in religion. You can get to the place where you look down on those emotional people. Now, there is an emotion that's all wrong. The charismatic hype that simply works upon people's emotions, that uses the techniques of the world in order that emotions may be wrought within these people, that then they may be manipulable. That is all wrong. But was there not deep emotion in Isaiah when he saw the glory of God in His train filling the temple? Was there not deep emotion when he cried, I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips? Was there not deep emotion in the heart of the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1, when he saw on the Isle of Patmos that vision of the glorified Christ, and he fell at His feet as one dead? Was there not deep emotion in the heart of our Savior in Gethsemane's garden, when His very sweat was like blood? I tell you, there must be an emotion that is deep and real, that is wrought out of the very depths of our being because of the greatness and the grandeur and the glory of the vision of our God. Only people who see little or nothing of the beauty of Jesus can be people without emotion in their religion. Give us a sight of Christ and we'll weep like children. Give us a sight of the glory of God and the sepulchral grandeur that we think so great that we can sit in church unmoved. It will melt like snow before the rays of the sun, and our hearts will be broken before God. I tell you, we need to learn to love affectionately.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.